Okay, we'll jump right into this morning. We spent in Sunday school, went through a bunch of verses on what the Bible says about being lost. And it's more than just, you know, not going to heaven kind of a thing. But you missed it, so I guess some folks, we're going to get right to Romans chapter 1. We're going to do the other side of that whole coin, and that's salvation. I'm not going to stand here and tell you what you need to do to be saved. That's not my point, believe it or not. And as we look at it, we're just going to see what Paul says about salvation. What it is, not even what it is to be a Christian, because that's pretty much what Paul talks about, is being a Christian. I mean, most of Paul's ministry is to the church of God, the Christians. And that's why we said what it is that Paul talked about as far as the lost people, pretty serious stuff. But he doesn't harp on it. He doesn't spend, pardon the phrase, doesn't harp on it. He doesn't spend a lot of time on it. I think it's like this. Paul knows so much about what's coming for a Christian that if we present the right testimony, we have the right joy, and we just, our lives change and we serve the living God, and he talks what he has to talk about, why would you not want to be saved? And then the second point is how complicated is it to be saved? How complicated is it to be a Christian as far as officially as such? And we'll talk about that tonight. Remember the thing we said in Romans chapter 1 where God says, listen, everybody's without excuse. I mean, nobody's without excuse. Nobody's without excuse. God put it in us to know what we need to know when we're little. We just teach ourselves out of it, or we teach it out of our children, or the television takes away, the music takes it away, the relatives take it away, day-to-day living takes it away, the stores take it away. Something takes it away, and then when they finally, sin revives and they die because something's been, the commandment's been put to them, they don't care, they're not interested, they don't even realize when they die because they're so deep into the world. There's a point, they're so deep into darkness, so deep in the world, when they actually truly die, they don't even know it. There's a thought right there. So anyway, let's see what it is that Paul just talks about when it comes to salvation. We certainly can't cover it all, because like I said, most of what he talks about is to a Christian, about being saved, the joys of salvation. But let's just pick out some of these verses here this morning. Let's just read them. Romans chapter 1. What does he say about salvation, for example? Romans chapter 1, verse 15. So, as much as is in me, right, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's the risen Savior, Christ. It is the power of God and his salvation to everyone that believeth. It meaning the gospel of Christ. So this is our Bible. It has the gospel of Christ. But it also has the Jesus' gospel. It also has the everlasting gospel. It also has the gospel's gospel. It's also got Moses' gospel. It's got all the different gospels. Again, what is truth? Truth and dispensational fact is the fact that it's the gospel of Christ. That gospel, which we get in our King James Bible here, is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Now, what's bunny trail, real quickly, Romans 10, 4 says, remember it says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. To everyone that believeth. So that little spot right there, but now the righteousness of God without the law, because see, Christ took care of the law, is manifested. That's what salvation is. The righteousness of God without the law. It says, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, it's in there, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all. That's the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe. Louis, you've passed it on to me. I'm getting a sneeze coming now. Thank you very much. Being justified, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation, as a substitute, propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. How can you boast when it's all about faith? Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Compared to that to Habakkuk, it says his faith. So our justification is by faith. Nothing to do with the law. Chapter 4, verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Work off your debt. Can you do it? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Verse 20. Talking about Abraham. Chapter 4 is one of those chapters that every time you read through chapter 4, it makes more sense to you. There's a lot in there about Abraham, but it makes more sense the more often you read it. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, that'd be Abraham, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He believed that. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised up again for our justification. Isn't that an amazing thing? Here's Abraham, started the Jews, and he gets that imputation, that righteousness imputed to him because of his faith that God would do what he said he would do. And the Jews don't, but the Gentiles do, that's us. Isn't that amazing? I mean, why wouldn't he just pass it on to those other people? But he gave it to Abraham. He wouldn't give it to the Jews. And he's given it to us Gentiles. His righteousness is imputed to us. It says, but for us also, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. That's believing in God there too. Verse chapter 5. Chapter 5. Verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access, by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Remember the tribulation, Hebrews. They're going to have to be walking clean in order to go to the throne of grace. And then they still don't receive the grace, the final grace, until he comes. Because Peter says the grace is given when he comes. So we already have that grace. Look at verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. I wonder if sometimes our lack of glory in tribulation is because we're not saved. Ever come up with that again? And patience, experience. And experience, hope. Well, tribulation worketh patience, and patience, experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now, I'm not saying that when we struggle through issues that we're not saved. But I'm thinking that maybe we ought to consider that. And it's not a slam, it's not a put down, it's not a judgment on my part. It's just the fact that we see so many factors today in Christianity that are a lie. And we've all had so much in our past that if this stuff still just doesn't click some form or another, and this Bible becomes an exciting thing, and we can learn to deal with the junk that we have going on in this world, as a Christian should, I wonder if maybe this just isn't a salvation issue. Chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now put that with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. Yes, He gave. God doesn't love everybody. It says right there, He commendeth His love toward us. He commendeth His love toward everybody that's there. And if they receive Him, they've got His love. If they don't receive Him, He can't love them because of the sin that's in their selves because of Adam. The love is not there. But He does say, commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners. I mean, the love is going north towards these people who were sinners. Christ died for us. So He did. But they have to accept that, believe and accept. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. That's the risen Savior there, see? And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Whereof, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Look at verse 17. Chapter 6, verse 17. For if by one man's offense... maybe it's still 5, huh? Still 5? Okay. My computer does that sometimes. It just types in a different number of things like that. Still 5:17, okay. Thought it might have been, but I guess not. Or I guess so. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So that there's that salvation. You're made righteous. Not by following in His footsteps. He makes you righteous. And all that doesn't say everybody is saved. It says that everybody has the opportunity, because Christ commendeth His love toward everybody. But if they don't accept it and trust and believe, then they don't have it. So that can't possibly be. But it's there for everybody to take, if it's the taking's there. I hope this is chapter 8, verse 1. There is... Okay. Chapter 8, verse 1. Can you see why Romans has to be read really slowly and over and over and slowly and over and over? And after a while, it starts to just settle in just so nicely. But you still cannot read Romans too many times. You just can't do it. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. And that's quite a statement. Hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So how can you lose your salvation if you're made free from the law of sin and death? People that believe you can lose your salvation, you can't. Because you're freed from the law of sin and death, you can't put the law of sin and death on you because you're free from the law of sin and death. So you're in. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And walking after the Spirit doesn't mean imitating Jesus. That's a modern Christianity bunch of baloney. After the Spirit. Spirit, King James Bible. Follow Paul. That's what he's talking about there. We know that. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Does that mean you can walk after the flesh and do something fleshy? Yeah, but does that mean you've lost your salvation? No, because we're free from the law of sin and death. So if you're walking fleshy into something, it's just going to burn the judgment seat, because that's what will be judged. Verse 9. Because the question is asked, if you walk not after the flesh, it says there, are you in Christ Jesus, in the flesh? Verse 9 answers that whole challenge there. Verse 9. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. There's a definition of that. But you're not in the flesh. Why not? Because you cut away from the flesh. Colossians 2, 6, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 is spiritual circumcision. Because you're not in the flesh. Even though you're in the flesh, you're in your body. I mean, here we are, ta-da. But we're cut away from that. So we're not in the flesh. That verse 9 is just a huge verse, because people do verse 1, 2, and 3 and say, well, you're doing something in the flesh, then it's going to keep you from being saved, etc., etc. Well, you're still in our flesh doing things, and if it's a fleshy thing you did, it'll burn. But you're not in the flesh if the Spirit of God dwell in you. Because in order for Him to dwell in you, you've got to be cut away from the flesh, and you're free from the law of sin and death because of that cutting. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. I mean, you've either got him or you don't. It's none of this. Well, I hear you're saved. Have you received the Spirit of God yet? That's the Pentecostal talk. At least it was when I heard it. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. So when He takes us out of here, our body's going to drop, be a dead body. And I was thinking the other day, and we've heard some famous people say that when the rapture comes, there'll be a blob of flesh and blood right there. You heard that? And I got to thinking, why? Because when somebody dies, they don't turn into a blob of flesh and blood on the bed there. They're just empty. It's just an empty, cold, hard rock. That's why your kids always ought to touch everybody. That just reminds them our flesh is just flesh. So when the rapture comes, whoever's left during the rapture thing, for the rapture, there's just going to be a dead body. But it isn't going to be this pile of stuff. Because it says right there, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life. So when the Spirit takes us and the life away, the body stays here because of righteousness, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So we really are dead bodies walking around. On the inside of this is the real us, according to God's design, the workmanship. We spend so much money on our dead bodies, and we're so concerned how big a dead body you've got. You know, and all I've got a shape, right? We all got shapes, just some are more rounded than others. It's our dead body. It's just, what's the problem here? Is our bodies are sure a lot worse than just a little round. They're full of sin. It's just horrible that this flesh represents and is. It's dead. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And someday He's going to fix this thing. Philippians, I think it's Philippians chapter 3. Makes our body right. I figure y'all going to look like me, but that's okay. You know better than that. Verse 24. 8:24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Isn't that good? That's really good. We are saved by hope. It's not that we hope we're saved. Our hope is the fact that we are saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Does that click? Does that make sense? So what are we trying to... Now listen, look at this now. Not picking anybody here at all. Talk about it more tonight. What is it we try to get people to do? We want them to understand the Paul thing. We want them to be saved. And we're all guilty. I'm just as guilty as anybody else. What are we trying to get people to do today? We're trying to get them to what? See what's going on. And if they can see what's going on, then they'll believe. That's our hope. But we know for a fact that the Bible tells us over and over that we're not going to believe by what we see. People have to... Is that what I said? What they see, yeah. People have to believe, then they'll see. Do you sense sometimes that we are still just in our determination for people to get what they need to get? Do you see that maybe we're doing it totally backwards? Still? We want to show them something so they'll believe. It didn't that's a Jewish thing, but and we try to show them something and they don't believe. Then we get all frustrated. But when did we see? After we believed. We're seeing everything that's going on because of this Bible, King James Bible, rightly divided, following Paul, beyond Paul, King James Bible. We can see all that stuff, but we didn't have to see it before we believe it. We believed it, and now we see it. And what it says right here, we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope? I mean, he sees what's going on. We can fix it. Our faith is in the fact that this Bible is true, rightly divided, makes sense, and helps us see what's going on. And we still, everybody, internet, we all do this. We try to get them to see what's going on so they believe this. And really, really, it's backwards. Then the question is, well, then what do we do? Is your excitement on this book and the stuff that we've been learning, or is your excitement on what you see trying to get other people to see? Am I making sense? I think that's why we get so frustrated. But how do we get people to believe without seeing? Well, who's I'm off the trail here. This might be... Who's in charge of the increase? God is. And it's still, I still see that a lot of our... My frustration is I still try to take over God's job. Listen, you can't do this, God. Here's how I think you need to do it. And I'll show them something. I'll show them what's going on out there. They can't possibly miss what's going on. And I'm there. I see people. That's what I try to do sometimes. And I'll get them this, and then I'll bring them back into this thing. That's like Acts 2:47, trying to get people to be happy enough to come to church. Then we'll show them the truth. And that's totally wrong. It's backwards. We want them to see that we're nice people. We're just marvelous, lovely Christian people. And we're going to show them the truth by having them to come here. But we're going to show them something. Let's show them a band. Let's show them a new building. Let's show them the joy and the happiness and the fun activities that we have going on. And then they'll believe later. Let's take our kids and let's quit telling them, no, they can't do this and we shouldn't be doing this. And here's some standards we're going to have in our house. And I want you to have fun. I want you to just enjoy us being Christians, and then one of these days you're going to believe. We're doing it backwards. I believe. But it's as much a struggle as it is for you. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We're waiting. We know what's coming. We just don't know when. Chapter 10. Does that little blur, bunny trail, make sense at all? It's hard. We want people to get it. Verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Have I got this right? Okay. Notice it says, now he's going to say what it is. This word of faith which we preach, semicolon, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that's Paul's commission right there, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? Uh-oh, I think I see an answer coming up here. The question I was asking, do we get them to see and unbelieve? We show them stuff to get them to see it? Not that this stuff isn't majorly interesting, by the way. What is going on out there is beyond anything I've ever learned in school. Not that I learned much in school anyway, but I'm just amazed at what I'm learning today. Don't laugh at that. You can't laugh at that. I learned more than you might think I learned in school. I learned how to do music words and the little dots and the stuff. The other stuff, I didn't learn very much in there, I'll have to admit. But, you know, what I did learn, I forgot. Pi r squared equal pi r. Something about pi. What about pi? Pi is 21, pi, 2 pi r squared. But what's the slogan you're supposed to remember? Sorry, Olivia, I got into this thing here. What is it? Pi r squared. Pi r not squared. They're round. I don't understand that one either. Just clicked on that one, too.
Pi r round.
Pi r round, yeah. No wonder, Miss. Never mind. Then I get off the whack here. So here's the answer. This is what they need to. This is what. How they're going to believe? How they're going to believe? We're going to show them what they need to see, and then they'll believe. Here's what he says. How shall they see? How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Doesn't say pastor, it says preacher. You can still preach to people, you can still tell people things. We got a Bible today. Remember, beyond Paul. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, meaning Paul's peace, the peace of God, from the God of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. Not gospel good things, but Paul's. Paul's got so many more good things than any of those books and gospels have. Way beyond all that. So, really what people need is Jesus Christ through the risen Savior through Paul's teachings of a King James Bible rightly divided. That's what they need to see. That's what they need to hear. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 10. Get kind of back onto the general trail here. I tell you, Romans is some marvelous stuff. Romans chapter 10, verse 18. Got to show you some little thing here. We're talking about salvation this morning, just not how to be, but here's the verses that Paul talks about salvation. And here's one in verse 18 of chapter 10. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, brother, the sound went into all the earth, and the words unto the ends of the world. You know what that is? That's the end of the Great Commission right there. It was done. It was done. They did it. Ends of the world in those days wasn't all that big, you know. Didn't have to go horribly far ways to come to the end of the world as far as groups of people. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And that little spot right there reminded me of Proverbs chapter 1. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1 just for a second here. This is a part of God that so many people don't understand. He's waiting to come back for the tribulation because he wants everybody saved, which we know he does. And God will be so distraught and disappointed if people don't go to him. And when the tribulation comes along, it's like a parent. It's the difference between a parent who spanks a child and feels horribly guilty during the whole thing. Anybody like that? I mean, maybe you don't even spank your children. Maybe you just talk to them. And you still feel horrible. Oh, I'm so sorry. But son, come to me, please. I'm so sorry I have to tell you this. But I have to tell you the word, no. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't want to lose you as my friend and my buddy. But please, don't do that. Or you got the parents that says, listen, here's what... I wish I could have been this kind of a parent to a point. Here's... This was wrong. You did wrong. And what did we talk about the consequences of doing that? You know, one of those kind of things. It would kill me. A couple of tears down the cheeks, I'm dead as a parent. I was not good at that. Don't cry. You cannot cry. And the kids know, if we cry, we're off the hook. And, no, a parent that says, listen, you did what you did. And listen, we've already discussed in the family that when you do something like that, you lose four fingers. That's just the way it is. So put the hand on the table. There go the four fingers. And... punishment's done. I still love you. You got what you got coming, and let's go on to the day. Let's see your fingers, Jimmy. Okay. I'm not that kind of a parent. I mean, I was just one of those, I'm sorry, I love you, can I take you to the movies tonight? I spanked you, and I'm sorry I had to do that, but kind of a thing. But here's that's how people think God is over this stuff. And we read Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. And pretend this is you talking to your kids, maybe. I don't know. We'll see where this thing goes here. I will make known my words unto you. Now, there is one problem parents have. Parents have not told the children not to touch or whatever. I never did like to see parents. Kid does something wrong, and it doesn't know he's not supposed to do that. And they wail on the poor kid in front of everybody, beat this, I was going to say the nose stuff, but I guess I can't say that. really wail on him. And the kid didn't know he wasn't even supposed to do that. Now that I don't like. I really don't like that one. That's just an embarrassed parent and the whole thing. But if the kid knows not to do that, you've told him that, now you've got a case. And God says, listen, I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have sought at not all my counsel, with none of my reproof. You didn't listen to me. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, look at this verse. This is amazing. Are we talking about the same God here? Yes. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. You see, during the tribulation, calling upon him will not get salvation. It's the walk. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Now, mothers hate this chapter right here. I don't think a dad has such a hard time with this. Mothers cannot stand the thought of this. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Wow. This is God. I've been there. I've given you Moses the law. Then I've given you, I came down myself and I walked the law, and I will impute unto you the righteousness of that thing. If all you have to do is believe and trust, listen to Paul. Listen, I even gave you my words. I even put on a King James Bible in English, the best language ever designed in this world, made it so tight and all kind of stuff. I have given you everything like that and you still refuse me. Listen, it's tribulation time. Hey, I was there and you refused it. And it says he'll laugh at their calamity. Have a great time in that tribulation. Isn't that something? Now, put that into a parental piece of wisdom here. That's pretty hard. Listen, son. This is your life now. This is what you chose to go. Sue says to Jimmy, this is what you chose to do in life. I can't help you now. And Lewis is going, ha ha! I told you, Jimmy, you should have listened to me back when you were 14. That's hard for us. We're not that way. But that's why God is God and we're who we are. One of the best things we could do is to let him take the hit. So let him get hit, Sue. Don't worry about that guy. Not a problem. And that's what this... Where am I at with this whole thing? I mean, okay, we got it here. Or he said to them... Great Commission is over. Hey, I gave it. Now, where does God go? He goes on to the Gentiles now. But this will be so identical, applicable to the tribulation, because he's been there everything. He's everything. This is what? This is perfect. This is complete. There's nothing else he can do. He showed them. He showed us. He's told us. He's told others to tell us. He did it himself. He gave them a second chance. Gave us a second chance. Gave us one apostle instead of 12. You know, it's always good to follow one instead of a committee. Wrote it down. Preserved it the way he wants it still to this day. And somebody's going to say to him, well, I didn't know. He's going to say, well, I'm sorry, I've done everything I could. I have done absolutely everything I could. Matter of fact, when you were born, I bumped it right into you anyway. And somebody took it out of you. Taught it away from you. Why would my parents do that? They didn't read this properly. So anyway, that's what salvation is. God still... I get so tired of somebody saying, well, why would God such and such? Why would God do this? Listen, God has done everything possible for people to see what we need to see and to believe by faith. That's just everything's there. Don't blame God for this stuff, people. And people out there blaming God all over the place. Well, I just don't get it. I can't possibly believe God would send somebody to hell like that. Well, God isn't sending somebody to hell that way. Was designed for that. They're choosing to go that way, and we've taught them out of some of that stuff, and it just gets me. Romans chapter 12, and we're not talking about brains here. We're talking about faith, believing what God said, and to trust it in His Son. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. According as God has dealt to every man the measure of... Even our faith was given to us by Him. It's amazing. Let's keep going here. Verse 1 Corinthians. More stuff on salvation here. More verses on salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We've got to move along quickly now. I wasn't counting on that little burst. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, and it will, we know that, unfortunately, based on Paul's teaching, we know things that's going to get burnt in our works. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Okay, so we'll lose things. But he himself shall be saved. So don't need to worry about that. Chapter 12, verse 13. Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I think I just read that one. I did. We'll skip that. I got that in there twice. No need to. Romans 5, 1 Corinthians 15. You know what? When I was saying back to Romans 12, 3, it just dawned on me. Is that what I told you, Romans 12, 3, back a couple verses ago? And it wasn't there, was it? And you just sat there and go, hey, it's okay. He does this all the time. Right? It was 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. We better go there then, because you were looking at me like I didn't even look up to see what you were thinking. So let's go back. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. I had it wrong. I see what it was. My computer messed up again. I tell you what, this Dell. Anyway. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. I got to find that on there too. It's right around... 37:55. Get out some of that stuff out of there. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For I say, doesn't say that there either, huh? Tell you what, let's just forget this. 12:3. Romans 12:3. Okay, so then Romans 12:3 is correct, and 1 Corinthians 12:3 is 12:13. I got it. It's 1 Corinthians 12:13. Look that up. Is that what that says, for I say? No. Stephen still out there? Stephen, you're watching an old man sweat right now. And Jason will enjoy this tomorrow when you're reading, listening to this thing. Okay, let's just skip all this paraphernalia baloney here. Let's go on to chapter 15. I don't care where it is now. Yeah. So that was okay. So we'll leave that one. So what is it now? I'm going to find that thing. This other one, the measure of faith. We just read that earlier, the measure of faith. Where do you get that? Measure of faith. Well, anyway. 1 Corinthians 15, King James. Here we go. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. See, they didn't have a Bible. There's another verse, by the way, right there that proves, if they keep it in their memory, they've got to keep tabs. Keep that Bible going. Unless ye have believed in vain. This Bible keeps you from believing in vain. Anyway, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom apparently they couldn't write because nobody wrote anything about it, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then all of the apostles. That's enough to prove that he rose again from the dead. I mean, right? And last of all, he was seen of me. That's Paul. As one out of born out of due time. That makes Paul apostleable. So that's good. And that's that. See, that little spot right there, that's what the rightly dividing, mixing and choosing people say, well, that's Paul's gospel right there. When we're going to be judged by Paul's gospel, that's what they say right there. Well, what about all the rest of the stuff Paul wrote? And he calls it gospel different places. Just crazy. Verse 12. I hope it's 1 Corinthians verse 12. From here on, I don't know anymore. I hope it is. 1 Corinthians 12, 17. No, 1 Corinthians 12. Now Christ be preached.
That's 15:12.
Did somebody get a hold of my notes last night on the website? Did you crack into my, hack into the church site last night and change my notes because I printed them this morning? Okay, what is it, Jimmy? Where am I at?
15:12.
That's good. Still 15, okay. Thank you very much. I need to get a new password on my website, Louis, you know. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now remember, this had never happened before when Paul's walking around telling people that people are going to rise from the dead. It's never been a big thing. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. So what's the Great Commission all about in lots of ways? Some of the really strict denominational churches, Christ is still where? He's still on the cross. So, well, what's with that? Or whatever, I'm getting weird here now because of this whole thing here. Oh, anyway. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Okay? Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. And when somebody says that we're nuts, that's for them. Because we're telling you that Jesus Christ has risen, he has gone to Paul, he has told us how to be saved, he has told us how to live a life pleasing God, and yes, we will be risen too. But if we're not going to be, if Christ wasn't, then we're not going to be, then the whole thing is just a game. And a lot of people are quitting because this has been a game to them. The folly of the Great Commission of modern Christianity is a lie, if taught today. If taught today. To people today. To people today. So, their whole religion has been in vain, and their kids are not interested because it's been in vain. Okay, I hope it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I've got my committee down in the front here keeping track of me this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, thank you. I do need your help, Jimmy and Sue and Louie. I mean, everybody, just jump in. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's salvation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. There's where reconciliation comes in. People talk about reconciliation. Yeah, it's about Jews and Gentiles with God. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's all Paul's teaching. Why would anybody stay in the Gospels is beyond me other than being taught wrong. That's all. Galatians. Let's look in Galatians. Some verses on salvation in Galatians. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not, chapter 2, verse 16, I got to really get the head going there, thank you. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Another one of those verses you read slowly and it starts to sink in. Look at verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Remember, our body's dead. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness is come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Chapter 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Okay, you want to live by the law? Then live by the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessedness of Abraham, remember all that, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, these sound complicated when you zip through them like this, but boy, when you read them slowly, they're just a marvelous set of verses. Look at verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But isn't that amazing? See? You believe first. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Chapter 5, verse 6 of Galatians. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. It means nothing. Either way, whatever. But he says, but faith which worketh by love. Not humanistic love either, Christ's love. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. More verses just on salvation. Those are good verses to read slowly for yourself. Don't worry about somebody else's salvation. Just reiterate and dig into yours. Make sure it's there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed to that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession and the praise of his glory. Unto the praise of his glory. That whole thing is backwards. Remember to read that. You hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, then you believe and then you trust. The way they wrote that thing. Chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Remember, we were dead in sins, and he offered his love toward us. Don't forget that. Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And we're seeing some of those grace riches right now. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Chapter 3, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. There it is again, to you word, toward people. And Paul's the one we're to follow for these things. Verse 12. Chapter 3, verse 12. I hope it's chapter 3. In whom ye have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Not by the faith in him, but by the faith of him. And I hope verse 17. Part of that phrase says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's what salvation is. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Strengthened with all might. No.
In whom we have redemption through his blood.
Is 11 strength? It is. I remember it changed. 11 to 14. I remember that last night. You didn't do this one. This is my fault on this one. It's 11 to 14. Strengthened with all might. According to his... And I put a lot of time in this too. Why don't I not get these little pity little things, you know? I miss all that little stuff. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. He's made us meet. He's made us okay to take these things. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. That's Acts 26:18. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And you know, modern Bibles don't say these things. They just don't say these things. They take out through his blood. I remember that's why I'm thinking of that thing. They take out through his blood in these other Bibles. I guess it'd be kind of interesting to read up all these verses, what these other Bibles say, because they don't say this stuff at all. What a shame. Okay, chapter 2, verse 11. In whom? In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Stephen, if you're out there, this is that section. And putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, and it's not a water baptism according to Paul at all. Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together, not born again, but quickened together with him, having forgiven all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That's major victory already in there. That's why we can say, we don't want that mountain for Jason. We don't want that mountain. We have that mountain. Remember we sang that Wednesday night. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And this is a lot of verses, I guess. That's why I miss some of those little things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. You know, you get more Bible verses here than you do in other churches for the whole year. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things. Take the notes, look them up later, just read your Bible. That's all we're talking about here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's called results. That's called with things going on the way they're going, we should be able to show people a total different peace and an understanding and a confidence and a satisfaction, wherever you want to go with these things, they should be able to see that in us as things are going the way they're going. They've got nobody else to see it. They've got nobody else to show it to them. That is, if Paul's teachings have entered into our homes and our lives and our personal little hearts have said, and our lives have changed. That's what they're seeing here. That's what salvation is. Turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven. We're waiting. Whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So we don't have to worry about the wrath that's coming. It's not just a lake of fire. The tribulation is going to take us out for that whole thing. It's just that man's wrath, we talked about this, man's wrath might be pretty crummy for a while here. I'm looking at those Reminisce magazines and those old story magazines, looking back at the Depression and stuff and how they had to do what they had to do. Boy, that just doesn't look like something I want to go through again, go through for the first time. Just doesn't look fun at all. I don't think anybody was fat in those days, I'll bet. I'd get rid of all this, but just had a depression come. Oh, are you kidding? We'll whine off our meat. It's terrible what's coming. We don't need to worry about it. You know. Anyway. Chapter 2. Did I tell you that? Chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And listen, Lewis and Sue and LD and all y'all, y'all can't go. You got to go through another one with us. We need to have somebody guide us through this thing.
I didn't know you was mad at us.
Yeah. We'll be over having church at your place. Whew, man, hot. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God which you heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. See, if it doesn't work in people, there must be a salvation problem here. See what I'm saying? I mean, this is, you know. Anyway. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered the things of your own countrymen. It's going to happen. Even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. So even in their day, the Jews did not, these people did not want Paul and these guys to talk to Gentiles. Why? They're going to get saved. Have you ever been talking to somebody, and then the partner or the kids or something stir up a little bit to get that conversation to stop? Been around that so many times, it just drives me nuts. This is why I used to get the way I used to get, and I kind of do, but not as much anymore. I recognize that this isn't the time to talk to somebody, because either their kids are hanging from the ceiling or swinging on the lights, or the wife is mad and all bee-hornets because of something I said or whatever, and the husband is angered over something. There's no point in talking about this. Or something comes up and the kids come running in the door and the TV's on. It's like there's no point in talking about this stuff because the devil does not want some people to get saved. Just bottom line. You ever been doing a Bible study yourself and the phone rings or something? Or something? The devil's going to stop this stuff. Do you think the devil is concerned about a Great Commission church? No big deal to him. You think he's even concerned about King James churches anymore? No. What bothers the devil? A King James, Bible-believing, rightly dividing, beyond Paul even, understand some of those hot spots in there. That's you're the one that's going to bother the devil. He'll probably let you talk about something that's serious that's going on in this world, but you bring up that Bible, and if they're not saved, they've got a spiritual issue right there, they won't listen, you know that. Or if you're getting somewhere with somebody, something's going to happen, I'll tell you, something's going to happen to somehow try to stop this thing. You're going to have an alarm clock that's going to go off in your dresser that hasn't been wound for 10 years. He's going to figure something out to distract it. That's just what's going to happen. So I just do everything I can to get rid of these distractions and just, I watch for this stuff. We were told back in the door knocking era that if you're going to go door knocking, you take somebody else with you. Why? Well, you got to have a witness. You also got to have somebody there to be your bouncer, or whatever you want to call something like that. Kids, come in here. Go play with the kids. I hate kids. Go play with the kids. I got to talk to these people. The phone rings, answer it. If there's nobody there, you answer the phone. I mean, do something to... Yes, but that's... It's beyond me to have to... No. If somebody's talking to somebody, ladies especially, your husband's into something, then do whatever you can to A, not be the problem. And B, if your husband's getting talked to, that same thing, not be the problem, get out of the way, and get anything you can get out of the way, out of the way. Pastor comes over, come on kids, let's go outside. Get them out of here, and let's talk. I have had so many conversations nipped, I don't even want to talk about it anymore, unless I see that this whole thing is going to be... You ever get that way? You ever seen that happen? All the time. Anyway, another bunny trail. A bunch of them this morning. I'm not even sure where we are. I think we're at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. How far did we get? Okay, do I have... yeah, we got it. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. No, we just did that. That must not be what it is. I got another one. Somebody hacked into my... I know you did. Where does it say, but we are bound to give thanks? 13? 2:13? We just did that. 2 Thessalonians. Right there. 2 Thessalonians. And how long have I been doing this now? 13 years here. I think it's time to get back into John Philip Sousa and bands, Jimmy. And a lot of people go, yeah, amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Wow. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Right? Brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That's what salvation is. And there is the belief of the truth phrase right there. Which is why I'm thinking, you know, from the very beginning, people had to believe the truth. Right? That's what he's saying. Okay, so what was the truth at the beginning? Don't eat from that tree. What was the truth from the beginning? Follow the commandments. Levitical law. What was the truth in the Gospels? Follow Jesus. Do what He does. Follow Him. That was the truth. Great Commission. Paul. Revelation. It says right there, has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through what? Sanctification of the Spirit. Okay, that has to be done. And belief of the truth. Believing the truth of a different dispensation doesn't get your salvation. Okay. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Paul right there. 1 Timothy chapter 1, quickly here, we'll wrap this up. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus again. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Yes. To be the Messiah for the Jews, and then they were going to go out to the world. Yes, He would still be saving sinners, of whom I am chief. That's Paul. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. So longsuffering is our pattern from Paul. But don't forget, Paul also says, avoid, withdraw, reject, have no company with, all that stuff. Paul's long-suffering does come to an end. And ours needs to, too, depending upon different situations. Chapter 2, verse 4. Here we go. Chapter 2, verse 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. 2. Verse 3. Okay. Man, that's terrible. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. There it is again, see? And to come into the knowledge of the truth. There's that truth again, dispensationally. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, which it will be testified in due time. Chapter 4, verse 10. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. That's what salvation is trusting in the living God, who is a Savior of all men, especially those that believe. See, He would be their Savior, but the ones that believe, He is their Savior. This all ties in together. Chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, for into thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. I hope that's your story. Chapter 6, verse 17. Charge them, I know this one's right, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Kids, you know what's really going to be hard about the next couple years as far as keeping you happy, Caitlin and Amanda, Olivia, is we're going to run out of ability to buy you things. Are you ready for this? No, I mean seriously. Wear the same dress maybe twice in 1 year. Oh, I can't believe that. Or all these toys that you just quit getting toys. You read through those magazines and those kids would find sticks out in the backyard and play with those sticks for weeks and a little metal thing or something. And you're just not going to get, we're just going to run out of, this is how parents keep you happy today, is they buy you stuff. Have you learned that? And they're going to quit buying you stuff because they can't. We're tired of debt. We're tired of debt. We don't want to go into debt for you kids anymore. You guys get used to the toys you've got and stay with the toys you've got. But Dad, I'm 23 and this fire truck, I'm just getting tired of this fire truck. I mean, that's how it's going to be. That's where it's coming. Are you ready for that? Little daddy can't come home and buy you one neat little thing because he just can't. That's trusting in uncertain riches. That's how it's going to get. And 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. That's how it's getting, kids. Be ready. You rip your clothes, fix them. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which is committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Verse 10 of chapter 2. Paul still concerned about the Jews, always has been. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Therefore endure all things for the elect's sake. He still is going to do whatever he can for the elect, and that's the Jews. That's not just anybody that's so crazy that they talk like that, the Calvinistic thing. That's for the Jews right there. That they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. That's where salvation is at. Chapter 3, verse 15. He says to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's what salvation is. That's why you kids need to learn Scriptures today, right now. Amanda, you just learned to read. You can still learn Scriptures. Caitlin, you can still learn those Scriptures. And Olivia, you still need to be taught about Amos and Moses and all these guys. Learn all those Scriptures. Learn it all. Timothy, Paul, Festus even. Learn about Festus. What about Festus? What do you know about Festus? Felix. What do you know about Felix? Learn about Felix. Learn those things. And then lastly, yes, it is lastly, Titus chapter 3. Jason, we have padded pews. That's how we can do this. Don't do that to your people, all those pews with no pads. At least, chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And it doesn't say, which He shed upon us. That's tribulation. So, there's what Paul says about salvation. He says a lot. And we'll finish that up tonight. You've got to get out of here. I don't mean to be keeping you so long, not terribly long, but not world record time, but we're done.